Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, dude.
The 90s called.
With Christine Taylor and David Lasher.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Hey Dude, the 90s called. I am one of your co-hosts, Christine.
And I'm David, your other co-host. By the way, just listening to you do the intro, we talk about how we've had trouble getting voice work. You have a great voice.
I'll take it. I mean, I feel like I don't hear it, but
when you do the intro, it's a different voice. When we're talking just casually, you're Christine.
Sort of, but even when I'm auditioning, I'm doing a voice. Like I'm trying something when I audition.
You were just like, hey, everybody.
Because I try to not be so high-pitched on the intro, just to spare people like turning their volume down.
It's like, I don't even know you for 5 seconds.
I mean, I try. I try to have my Demi Moore voice for a minute. but sometimes when I'm sick, I get that Demi voice in the throat. We have a great guest in our waiting room. So we will not take too much time, but I wanted to get to our totally 90s trivia cards, because as suspected, when I got that Mighty Morphin Power Rangers card last week, and nobody knew that. Nobody, I mean, I think only one or two people commented on it, but also I don't even think that's a 90s show. And then I started to look through the deck, and there's some like 80s questions in there. There was a question about Cheers, and I was like, Cheers was 80s. Cheers was not 90s.
And the deck of cards is supposed to be 90s.
It's 90s. I'm showing it to you right now.
Okay. Well, pick a good, like,
I've
a
got
really
a good one.
Right,
I've got a good
target.
One. I've got a target. I've got a good one. I'm not going to give multiple choice. And I think everyone's going to know it. I'll see if you know it though. Okay. In Friends.
Oh, I know everything about Friends.
Do you? What was Phoebe's twin sister's name?
Oh, gosh.
And I'm not, there's a multiple choice. And if I gave you the multiple choice, I'm sure you would get it. I remember, actually knew this.
Oh, you did know it? I remember that episode though.
Yes. And I'm going to, of course, Lisa playing.
Her name was Phoebe Kudrow. Buffay, right?
Buffay. Yes. Well, it's an apropos card too, since last week we had Dan Bukatinsky on, who, you know, just had such great friends.
Look at you. What a bridge.
And Lisa Storr. Isn't that a nice bridge?
From
a nice little, I love to keep a little thread.
Dan was amazing, by the way. The entire time.
So much fun. So actually, while we're doing this, because the next question is friends related also, this any fans could do the math, so I won't give multiple choice either, but how many Friends episodes are there in the full series? So it gives numbers. I'm not going to give them because all people really have to do is sort of multiply.
So this is a bonus episodes. Question.
It's a bonus question.
Okay. If you get both of them right, what do they win, Christine?
That's the thing. I know. We don't have prizes.
We should come up with, we need prizes. We need some Hey Dude 90s Club merch or something.
All right. We are, we've got our get. David, why don't you intro our guest?
I will say our guest, Scott Grimes, is one of my oldest friends and honestly, one of the most working actors over all, you know, decades that I've ever met. And he's so kind and impressive and professional and talented. And
I can't wait to meet him.
This is going to be good. Let's welcome Scott Grimes.
Oh.
What is that?
It's Antonio Banderas.
Oh, my God.
You know what's so funny? You know what's funny? I did that so long ago.
No.
I'm so sorry. And just about 2 seconds ago, I was like, holy shit. Are they going to think it's Antonio Banderas? I got to change.
That is hilarious. You don't change it. Do not change it.
It is so you, man. Scotty Grimes.
Sexy Antonio? Come on.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
Scott Christopher Grimes.
Guys, I'm so nervous.
No, stop it. You've got a great setup. I see it. You've got a great mic. You've got your headphones on because you're a voiceover actor, David. All this elusive job that David and I want on any show.
Oh, you should. You guys aren't doing that.
No one wants us.
No, we can't get that.
We can't get arrested on an animated show.
I'll be honest with you. Nobody really wants me either. I knew Seth MacFarlane very young, so that was it. Because I don't really do anything except for one voice, really. You know.
Scotty,
that's all you need.
It's so good to see you, man. Thank you for coming on the show. Christine, he sends me really supportive texts, like in depth about how we make guests comfortable. And
so true.
I can't thank you enough. And I feel the same about you and all of your work. So I love that you reach out in that way, you know?
Thanks, man. Thanks very much.
Okay. I'm so excited to meet you. I feel like know you. I said to David right before you came in, like, I know you, but I don't know you. Like, I've watched you forever. No,
we've definitely never met. And I even looked up, just to be, because I watched you guys' show and obviously all your careers. And there's nobody that like I've worked with that you guys have worked with, really, truly. We're just friends through Scott Campbell, buddy, right?
That's crazy because you are like Kevin Bacon. I mean, seriously, you've worked
you
with
really
almost
are.
Everybody.
I was playing this game the other day with my buddy Ross. We were watching the Golden Globes at a bar. And he said, and it sounds kind of posh to say this, you know, but it's true. I'm like, everybody that came up on that stage could be connected. Like, oh, I know that writer from the da-da-da-da-da. And I wasn't doing it. It's just how long I've been doing it.
Right? It's just you. That's yes.
Yep. Yeah.
You've been doing this since you were so little.
Let me just say for our listeners, let me give you a little intro because we need to let people know that Scott Grimes, the things that are most impressive to me are the longevity you've created in your career.
Thank you.
The fact that you have collaborated with some of the greatest people, the most talented people in our business, who you continue to work with over and over again, whether it's Russell Crowe, or Seth MacFarlane, or our good friend Graham Yost, who was on here the other day, who was like, oh yeah, Band of Brothers. And then we on Justified.
Justified, right.
That says so much about you, man, as an actor, as a professional, that everyone wants to continue working with you. I want our audience to know how impressed I am with you because it's very rare what you've created for yourself.
That is sweet of you to say. I'm also very cheap. I think that's how they work.
When everyone else passes.
That's when, it.
When did you two meet? Fill me in on
Scotty
your
Scotty Campbell, man. Scotty, we got to give a
So we do have to, Scott Michael Campbell, great actor. And I was, my introduction to you, David, was first of all, I knew who you were, but I was making a pilot with Campbell in Vancouver. And we became close friends over this 2-week period. And then he immediately got this movie that you guys did called The Flood. Right.
Yeah.
And I was so jealous because I was so close with him. I was blessed. And now he's going off with David Lasher to Australia to do this movie. I'm like, well, that's all right. Our friendship's over. He's going to meet David. They're going to become best friends, which you did. But I was really, so my kind of introduction to you was that I was like, who, this bastard, he's going to take my friend away. So
oh that, my gosh.
Yeah. And then when you guys came back from doing The Flood, we all kind of hung out and you guys, yeah, I remember.
Was this a 90s friendship? 90s?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I turned, Christine, I turned 21 on The Flood. My birthday was in Australia and yeah, I came back.
That was like, right. Yeah. That was, oh my gosh. That was early 90s. Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, then, but were you already doing Blossom?
Yeah. Yes. You know, it was weird. I was on hiatus from Blossom when I did The Flood. I came home from The Flood, and Campbell and I were living in the Oakwood Apartments together.
That's right.
It always comes back to the Oakwood Apartments.
And here's the other story that I remember, and take this the right way, David, because I really looked up to you. I remember playing basketball at the Oakwood Apartments. And you and Stoynoff were in the middle of renegotiating your contract for Blossom. And I'll never forget, like, I didn't negotiate anything at the time. People, you know, they hired you. I took what they offered and that was it. So I was like, these guys are so cool. They're negotiating their contract, hanging out, playing ball. I got to take this guy's. It's my agent with the new offer. I thought it was the coolest thing. You will remember that story, but yeah, I do.
Oh, yeah. I followed Stoynoff's lead. He was hardcore.
I could tell.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us. They burned us and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's no way we can get all of this in 1 hour. So I want to speed go through. Oh, yeah. I want to start back to, because Christine and I have talked to guests, and Christine lived in Pennsylvania. I lived in Westchester. We would go into the city, run around on auditions. I want to know how you started from you know, South Boston, and yeah, and how you got into the Broadway show Nine, and how it started for you.
Okay, I'll make this as quick as possible. My parents and I took a train one weekend to go to New York City just for fun. My sister, my dad, and my mom. And we got off the train. It was like a Saturday afternoon. We're walking, seeing all the sights, doing all the things. And there was a sign outside of the 46th Street Theater, which is now, I believe, called the Richard Rogers. And it just said, come in and sing for this audition. And we were like, yeah, cool. I'm going to go in and sing this song on Saturday afternoon. 20 minutes later, Tommy Toon, who some people remember, a huge Broadway, came outside and said to my parents, you're not going home for a year. We start previews on Monday.
No.
I moved into the
show. Shut up. No.
And I won the show, won best musical like 7 weeks later. Yeah. So that was, I didn't go home for a year. That's how I started. And you guys know, I wasn't an actor. I was just this little singer. I was a terrible actor, in fact. But in New York, when you're doing a Broadway show, what do you do during the day? You audition for commercials. So I started my acting thing became like how to sell this mustard and paper towel. That's how I became an actor. That's it.
Yeah. But you knew how to sing clearly at a young age.
Yeah, I was doing kind of local theater outside of Boston. Yeah.
So that was the beginning. You just loved the music. You were, was it natural, or were you taking lessons at a young age? And did you dance too?
I think it was natural. And then the lessons came, and we would go to Worcester, Massachusetts every weekend. My dad and I would take I didn't start dance yet until I did another Broadway show and they forced me to, because I was not a good dancer. Probably still am not, but I became like a great tap dancer for this other show after Nine. So it was all really, everything came from singing. Once I opened my mouth and sang, they went, well, but he can't do this other stuff. And they'd be like, it doesn't matter, because he can sing. We'll teach him all the other stuff. And that was basically.
Well, I know you have two loves. I mean, you've created some amazing music and put out albums. Which is your favorite love? If you could pursue either one.
Well, it would always be music, because that's where I'm most comfortable. You know, what we all do best is what we're most comfortable doing. You right. know, I think so, like being on a stage and singing, that's what
it's
I love.
Second nature for you.
Kind of second nature. I'm really comfortable up there. But, you know, I was caught in between that kind of pop star thing. I was, you know, already acting, and people don't want us. They didn't anyway. Wanted to see an actor that looked like me up there trying to, you know, be a rock star. So.
Oh, but your music was amazing, yeah, man. We'll get into that. But
yeah, we have to get into that. Yes, for sure.
But then can I cut to Critters 1 and 2? Was that like your big now you were broken into acting?
Yeah, I did a bunch of like Christmas movies as a little cute redhead. And then, yeah, I got. But here's the thing. Critters was like, again, I think they offered it to like Sean Astin. And Sean went to do Goonies, which I auditioned for and didn't get. So he kind of screwed me on both things, right? Well, kind of. But I did Critters because he did. So I wasn't the first choice for Critters. And they even put big old, if you watch that movie today, I have horrible shoulder pads on because they were trying to make me look bigger because I was a little thing. But yeah, Critters, I think, would be the start of, yeah.
That was your start. Scotty Campbell, I called him before this interview and we just went over like, am I missing anything here? And he said, ask Scotty Grimes about the story of Goonies and what did you shout out in the movie, The Goonies? Was there something that happened there?
No, I don't know what he's talking about. Well, it's Scott Campbell, first of all. It could be, he knows
everything. I mean, is it maybe just the story that you told about not getting cast in it?
Okay, never mind.
And doing Critters instead?
You know what he's probably talking about? I went to see Goonies with, this isn't even, for some reason, I went to see Goonies with Dolph Lundgren in Sweden.
Okay, wait.
I swear to God.
Just stop for a second. Yeah, we got to go back to the
Bob Hope tour. We're missing so much shirt.
Yeah, that would be that. So maybe he's talking about that. Maybe he's talking, yeah. There's so many weird people that when I bring it up, I'm like, holy crap, that sounds strange. Dolph Lundgren.
Yes. So was the Bob, let's go to the Bob Hope specials. Because I remember I had a roommate, my roommate Martha, who was a soap star. She got invited onto one of the Bob Hope specials. I remember them in the 90s. Like, yeah. I don't know how long, when they started or how long they went, but how did you
into that? Well, remember I'm acting, I'm doing like the Critters things, but at the same time I'm involved in like AIDS benefits and singing.
Right.
Yeah. So we'd show up and I was doing the show in Arizona. And the table in front of me as I'm singing Somewhere with a Rainbow is Elizabeth Taylor and Bob Hope and Merv.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a table, man. And afterwards, I got a phone call. I remember my parents' kitchen in Studio City. And it was Bob Hope on the phone. Like, I'd like you to come do some shows with me. And that turned into 2 years of USO shows and television shows. And I was nobody. It's not like that he was selling. And here's the guy from this. It was just about the singing. And I went everywhere with him. He had a little private.
Wow.
And it was awesome.
Just because pure talent. It was right. He respected people that were talented. And
that's what, that was a different time back then. And like, again, the Merv Griffin part of it, I did Merv Griffin 14 times and wasn't even selling anything. Like, I wasn't going on there because I did an episode of Who's the Boss. I was going on because Merv went, and now Scott Grimes is going to sing a song. It's just it was a cool time.
That is so cool. And Dolph Lundgren was also invited as well.
We did a show for the King and Queen of Sweden. Like it was aired and the whole thing was like Bob Hope is, you know, going to, it was like a variety show. And Dolph Lundgren was big at the time, having
Ivan Drago.
Yeah. So we went to see movies. We went to see Goonies in Sweden and we went to see Rocky, the one that he was in. I think it was 4. And I just remember sitting next to Dolph Lundgren going to see Goonies and Rocky.
The fact that you were sitting next to the star of Rocky IV at the peak of the Rockies, like, that must have been the coolest.
The coolest. It really was. But anyway, but the other side of it is when he made the He-Man movie, which you're not allowed to call it, apparently, I saw him at like a party. He walked in with Grace Jones. I'm still a kid. And I'm like, Dolph, congratulations on He-Man. And he looked at me and he goes, we don't call it that. It is Masters of the Universe. And he walked away from me. So I don't think we're friends anymore.
Oh, shoot.
Called this movie the wrong thing.
Damn it.
I really messed with him.
Wait, before we move forward, though, too, I'm seeing that you also worked with Mickey Rooney.
Yeah, I did. I did a movie called It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. It still airs every Christmas. It was a TV movie of the week. And you guys remember when they used to spend money on TV movies of the week.
Yes.
Huge. And yeah, I did. We did 3 months in New York City, and he played my grandfather. It's kind of a cool movie. And he was he was a lovely man, I can say. Did you, have you worked with Mickey?
Ben worked with him in the first night at the museum, and then Ben brought him in on Tropic Thunder in a sequence that's cut out of the movie. It sort of was going to be a trailer for the simple jazz. You know, they had these full trailers for each of the characters' movies. And the Simple Jack trailer had Mickey Rooney and his wife and me and Justin Theroux. And And we had this day, like shooting on a ranch up, you know, north of LA. And,
how was he for you?
Oh, my, well, he was older at that point.
I can't believe he was still alive during Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, so he was weaker.
He was weaker, but he was pretty sharp and loved to tell, like, and so little.
Yeah.
Like, just so little, but just with his wife, just loved telling stories and, you know, just.
Tell me a lot. And the only reason I said weaker is because if Mickey Rooney had to pat you on the back in a scene, like, come on, kid, he hit you so hard. Only thing I remember, if he had to do like, come on, because I'm his grandson, he'd smack you so hard. I didn't know if that was like making up for maybe he's little, but I was scared. By the second month of making that movie, I'm like, please don't have him touch me. Please don't.
Well, I think in the Night of the Museum, they sort of wrote him that kind of character too, because he had that in him.
Yeah.
But oh, wow. What an amazing
experience. Have you guys ever heard Dana Carvey do an impression of Mickey Rooney?
Oh, God.
Dana Carvey, one of his first movies was with Mickey Rooney, and he does this impression that's so freaking funny. I was the biggest star in the world. Bam. The world.
Right. you know the camera move called the Mickey Rooney?
No.
This is real. Don't think I'm a mean person. I was on the set, and the guy's like, oh, we're going to Mickey Rooney right in there. And I'm like, what does that mean? He goes, oh, it's a little creep.
Oh no!
I know, and it sounds mean, no! But it's a favorite. They call the Mickey Rooney a little creep.
I'm gonna listen for that.
He's the quintessential child movie star, right? Scott, another thing about you that is so impressive is that you've seemed to have gotten jobs that we all got as a guest star, and then you work on them for 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah.
So, and that also is this testament what you did that first week. And let's go. Can we go into Party of Five?
Yeah, Party of Five. I was hired for the pilot. Now, I had done Birdland with Scott Campbell. So my career has literally been, I got this because of this, and I got this because of this. And it goes all the way to Band of Brothers. But I did Birdland, and then Birdland was the same writers as Party of Five. And they said, come do the pilot. I did the pilot, 2 scenes, and the show gets picked up. And they brought me on as a regular. So that was first. And then that Party of Five turned into Band of Brothers because Meg Lieberman. So it was one thing after the other. But I have been very lucky to go from, ER is the next kind of iteration of when that, and that one was kind of huge,
right?
Because I did audition for ER and went, I was supposed to do 2 episodes and quit, like kill some patient. And you know, if you kill a patient on ER, you're probably not going to stick around. No, right? And then I kill this patient. I leave. And there's a grip comes up to me and goes, I read the 4th episode and you're in it. I'm like, how the hell am I in it? I'm doing my storm out, getting fired scene right now. Brought me back again because they were going to kill me in a helicopter crash. It was very famous in season 9 or 10. And John Wells, I think, looked at all the money. And when it came up to this episode of me dying from this helicopter, I think he said, well, Scott Grimes is cheap. And this guy we're going to kill because he's $200,000 an episode. So I stayed up.
And so you keep saying that you were lucky and that you were cheap, but I got to disagree because, and for our listeners, you get cast in a 2-line role. If you crush it and you show up and give it everything you got, look what happens. The casting director or the director or the writer, you go on and on and on. Just
You make that impression and it snowballs.
I guess so. I'm not allowed to admit that, but thank you for saying that. And then this was like, that turned into 2 episodes turned into 7 years.
On ER.
On ER.
Yeah. Unbelievable. With both of the, with Party 5 and with ER, Scott, because you had been working so much and in so many different things, when those shows, and I know Party of Five came first, did that change? Like, were you so recognized? Was it a different sort of level of, now I'm actually getting recognized because I'm on this huge hit show and this is so different, but I've been doing this forever?
Yeah, definitely. Party of Five started that, and because, and you know, Scotty Wolf, you know, those guys became so huge, Matt Fox and Scott Wolf, that, you know, I'm just standing next to them on the show and I happen to be the best friend of the show and a redhead. I think the red hair had a lot to do with how
you stand out in the crowd.
No, like I've been to amusement parks with Russell Crowe. And now once they recognize Russell Crowe, then it's a chaos. But people be sitting there talking to Russell and I and be like, come up to me and be like, oh, I love you. And the da 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 da. And I'm helping them going, look to my right, dude. It's fine. but I think it is the red hair. I think it immediately kind of, it's shiny. So
yeah,
but,
you're spottable.
I remember that. It was around the Party of Five time. You know,
who's the boss when I was a kid? How was your experience on that show? Because Scotty Wolf has been on here a couple times and, you know, he has just the greatest things to say about that experience.
Oh, it was great, man. I think it taught me how to be whatever actor I am today, whatever that is. You know, and I mean that in the know what the camera people are doing, know how to do this, and all the technical stuff as well. Mm. And because I don't remember how old I was, 19, 20. And it's that shift right there where you're like, okay, am I going to be an actor anymore? Because I was a kid actor, difficult to make that adjustment.
Oh, yes.
Yep. And that show was that adjustment. I think that's what the show was about. It was this coming of age kind of show. And luckily, accidentally, I think I just learned a lot. And that was the bridge between Mickey Rooney and, you know,
sure.
Yeah. No, a writer that we've worked with, Lisa Malamed, was on Party of Five, and she also said, yeah, Lisa's the greatest. But she also said that was for her, like learning what she wants to write, the type of writing she wants to do. And
yeah, and everybody was so good. And watching those guys, you know, it's neat to watch people and fame. Because I could sit back on that one and see what Nev and Scott and Matt. Right. Lacey became, and it was neat to watch them, you know.
Yeah, it blew up.
That out. Yeah, it did.
And then
being recognized was awesome. Yeah.
Mystery Alaska.
My favorite thing I've ever done ever.
Christine, you got to hear about this movie because this was like a White Squall type situation where every young actor wanted to get in this thing. It was Russell Crowe. It was hockey. It was who was it?
Jay Roach, right?
And Jay Roach directed it, and Dave Kelly. Yeah.
David Kelly, yes.
Yeah, I remember this movie. I loved it.
It was originally called The Game, and then The Game came out with Michael Douglas.
And Bob Penn.
They had to change it to Mystery Alaska. Not many people saw that movie at all, but it was the greatest time I ever had. And you guys know this too. The one show or thing you do where everybody's still friends today. You know, everybody, like we are as close as can be. And that again started my, you know, relationship with Russell, music and movies.
Yeah. So was that because he just I mean, we in our household love Russell Crowe. We're fascinated by Russell Crowe. Ben, in fact, they were potentially going to work on something together and then the scheduling didn't happen. But it's just like there's an obsession in our household of Russell Crowe. So I need to hear more about this and how it was, because that was like Mystery Alaska was sort of like he was sort of at his peak, right? Was that?
No, he had just.
It was before Gladiator? Yeah,
Before Gladiator, he had just been nominated for LA Confidential.
Yeah. Okay, right. That was kind of the break, right?
Pick of movies. He was. Right. And he chose this. It was probably a little bit of money involved too, but he chose this tiny little script that he said he read 400 scripts and he picked Mystery Alaska. And it was it's so funny that you say that, Christine, because I think, and we all think, that character that Robert Downey played was based on Russell Crowe. And it's neat to see who Russell was then when that came out and who he is now, because he hated it when it came out. And now he's like, oh, I see it. That's funny. That's funny stuff. Right? But he was, the start of our friendship.
Talk about your friendship with Russell Crowe, because I know not only, you know, he brought you in to do Robin Hood, but like you guys were in a band together, right? With the Band of Thieves, or what was it?
It was,
The Grumpy.
You're thinking of.
I'm confusing the two.
Are you combining groups?
We started in a group called 30 Odd Foot of Grunts.
So yes.
And then I was just playing on that, writing songs with him. And then now we have a thing called Indoor Garden Party, which is, you can, I don't know what it means either, so don't worry. And we just travel and sing and write songs, and we have, you know, we made a couple records. But that started on Mystery Alaska. I would, because it was, you know, 50 below in Calgary, and I would just get together with everybody every night and play guitar and sing.
Jam sessions.
Every night. There's no better bonding.
Right? A location jam session. I say it because Ben just worked on a movie out of town, and he's a drummer, and he got a set of drums, and the crew, like, he got the, when you have a crew and you're on a location and there's nothing to do on the weekends,
and the drummer is important because it's like the goalie. You don't play hockey without a goalie.
So true.
He wants to keep the jam sessions going in our life, and I was like, okay, but we really don't have the band. Like, you've got to bring in some.
Here's what you got to do. Here's what you got to do first. And I have it upstairs in my house. I have a jam room, and it's wired. Meaning there's speakers in the thing. All the guitars are hooked up. There's a piano and everything is wired. Then people will come.
They will come. And wire it and they will come.
They will. That's it.
And Christine, you'll be up all night with the drums pounding above your head.
Oh, man. I'll do tambourine. I said I'll do backup vocals and tambourine.
Oh, they're the shaker.
Yeah, the shaker.
So really, it wasn't acting. It was kind of music that Russell and I ended up bonding over, you know, and that turned into other, you know, Robin Hood, obviously, he thought was going to be very musical. So I would have never gotten Robin Hood ever. In fact, you worked with Ridley, right? I felt the whole time, Ridley and I are friends now, but the whole time we're making Robin Hood, I could sense Ridley did not have, his choice was not me and Kevin Durant and Alan Doyle for the Merry Men. It was Russell's choice. Ridley would have obviously hired, you know, British guys or Scottish guys, you know. So I spent that whole movie going, sorry, Ridley, I'm just following my friend. You know, thanks for the opportunity.
But you said that movie was meant to be more musical.
Yeah, it was meant to be a lot of things. We were all supposed to just, there was a bunch of scenes cut. Well, I sang a whole song.
Interesting, really?
Yeah, I sing this song that Russell wrote, you know, 100 extras in this square where Maid Marian, they're dancing and I sing this big song. It was cut because, and I'm glad Ridley cut it because it did not belong in this movie. It was supposed to be a little bit more musical.
Oh, well, that's why they cast you, right? I mean, Russell was like, my friend is going to crush this.
And also it's the hang for Russell, right? He surrounds himself with people that are just a good hang and maybe like to have a drink or two with him.
Christine, come on, we talk about this all the time, that it's the in-between moments.
It's the hang.
It's the hang.
That's what there's something about how we are wired as actors that just, it's about like human connection and just like getting to know these people and when you're only with people for a certain amount of time, like, you realize that it's finite, you know, and then you're going to go back into your lives. So you're like, we got to do stuff. We got to hang out.
It comes across too, you know, and the camera can pick that up.
Totally. Yeah. If a crew and a cast and a director are gelling, it comes across.
Absolutely.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together. We'll cry together and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us. They burned us and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about ER, because you ended up years on that show. I know we touched on it, but how were you cast on it? What were you supposed to do? And how did it turn into what it turned into?
You know, I auditioned. I remember auditioning in front of John Wells and Chris Chulak. And I was saying the lines in the first episode were all medical, like sats are dropping, you know, it's so impossible.
I'm sweating thinking about it. I remember those auditions where it's like a vocabulary you don't know, but you have to come in like fully memorized.
Right.
You know what I mean? Don't mess it up. Do not improvise.
Exactly.
And I'm getting sweaty thinking about it.
And also, you know, you have to pretend to be a doctor for 4 minutes in front of these people who, and doctors have, you know, spent their lives in school and waited in that, and you're trying to sell it. But the great thing is Chris Chulak was a huge fan of Band of Brothers. So, and he didn't even know I was coming in, and I could see in his face, he wasn't really listening to me act. He was saying, oh, that's the guy from Band of Brothers. And so halfway through my like BPs, 108 over 20, he goes, all right, I know this is tough, man. I'd love to work with you. You're Band of Brothers. You got it. Like, he told me right there that I had gotten this.
Oh, wow.
These are like fantasy stories. Really, okay. Are. Literally, you, Tommy Tune, just coming out and saying to your parents, you're not leaving. Like, who does that happen to?
No.
Auditioning for ER, where you're stopped mid audition and they tell you, no. You got it. Like, that's never happened.
You know what's also great about it? If they were looking for a regular for 7 years on that show, I wouldn't have gotten it. all these other factors would have gotten in the way, looks and stuff like that, that I wouldn't have gotten it. So that kind of the guy that kind of makes his way and quietly.
But how did, so it was supposed to be two episodes?
Two episodes, yeah. It turned into 7 years.
And then when did you find out and how did it grow into all those years?
I was told later that I was there. I rode the show for a year and a half just as a guest star. And I was there to facilitate the other actors. I was there to help their storylines, to be this.
And by the way, that's not the worst job. It's not the easiest, but especially when you've done a couple episodes and you've got a little rhythm and you get to go off in your life. And then they call and they're like, hey, we'd love to have you. Like, that's kind of a great thing.
And the other actors are George Clooney and Juliana Margulies and Anthony Edwards, right? I mean,
But I also loved making them. And I don't mean that they made themselves look good, but my character was such a dork and a jerk that I made them look like heroes and they loved it. They were like, cool, keep this.
That's a great role.
Yeah, right. And then I was doing this scene, this funny scene with Linda Cardellini, and where I'm choking on these French fries, and they're one of their big directors, Jonathan Kaplan, who directed a lot of ERs. They called lunch and he comes over to me and he whispers and he says, go call your agent and tell them you want to be a regular. They're going to make you a regular. And I, and I was like, what do I do here? Like, because I had been told that if you do that on ER, if you say, I want to raise, you're out. I mean, they're just going to write you out. So I didn't want to ruffle any feathers, but I was outside of a Benihana about 2 weeks later. I know it's not a great place to be. And my phone rang and they asked me to be a regular. Yep.
Wow.
And I turned so many like episodic things down, and the money for ER wasn't great those years I wasn't a regular. And I kept telling my agents, I want to be on this show. I really think something's going to happen. And they're like, no, man, this never happens. They never make anybody a regular just by being a guest star. And
ha ha ha. Wow.
You showed them.
I showed them, didn't I?
And who else did our friend Kelly Martin?
Yep. I was after her. They killed her off.
Okay, because Christine's very, Christine, Scott and Kelly are very, very close friends.
Very close, yeah.
We have to have Kelly on. I know we talked about that last year. I haven't seen Kelly in years, but Kelly was like one of the first people I met when I, you know, moved to LA. And we were friends for a while, but she's so good. I mean,
the best.
That cast was so good. Linda is so good. Like that was an early Linda Cardellini role and like everything I've seen her in since.
Yeah,
and by the way, her on Freaks and Geeks, I was obsessed as well. But then for her to start turning, you know, she's so good comedically and dramatically. So they cast great people on that show.
Yeah, they were really good at that. And anybody that, you know, didn't fit. And I saw a lot of people come and go from ER because they walked in actors that I won't even say who were supposed to be regulars. 3 episodes. And because they mouthed off too early about certain things, they were gone. And these are huge people. These are stars now.
That looked like one of the hardest shows, you know, walking, talking, and that sort of dialogue and the movement of the show. You're like a little cog in this gigantic setup every take. Not every actor can do that.
I'm going to half agree with you and half disagree with you. I think given the practice, I think a lot of people would be surprised that they could easily do it because it is this thing that is
it's like a ballet,
like a choreography, a choreographed piece. Yes.
And you know, no, watching someone like Noah Wiley is the reason, another one of the reasons why they probably made me a regular, because I watched him and I was like, I'm gonna do everything that he's doing with the confidence he's doing it, with the subtleties he's doing it, because it seems like he knows, and obviously playing Carter and how good he was. So and he helped me through it. I think my character on that show was inept, and Noah's character was like, Morris, no, it's like this. So I had it a little easier.
Right? You can rely on that. Yeah. I'm not supposed to know what to do.
Right. In fact, here's a funny story. When John Stamos started the show, he couldn't say any of the words. He couldn't say the long medical stuff. So he walked up to the writer And he said, hey, I have an idea for my character, Gates. He's the guy that can't pronounce anything right. Because he didn't happen to write it up. Like, no, dude, that's not how it works. You have to go to med school, then you become an intern. You know these things. It's like, oh, okay.
But that becomes a comedic part of the show.
It could have been, but they were like, no, you got to do the work, buddy.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together. We'll cry together and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us. They burned us and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like a million bucks,
with zero qualifications,
she had a Harvard plaque,
tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm just shocked by, like, I don't understand, just as an actor, just as a person, that, like, when you said people come in and just would mouth off, or probably just have very strong opinions on how their character should, you know,
when yeah,
you,
who does when
you
that?
Come in, that's what I mean. Who does that on a show that, by the way, what season did you come in on? So it's not, it wasn't a new show.
No, I came at season 9, I believe. It had already been going. It had been going.
You come in and you respectfully
do the work, I think, right?
You collaborate. There's a difference between collaboration and ideas and tossing around ideas and then like mouthing off or having an opinion, too strong an opinion.
And that's the thing. I mean,
and ego. Ego is what it is, right?
It's ego, and it might be making up for you're uncomfortable. You're not a great actor. I mean, I never know why people do what they do when they come in and make a fuss. But that was not the show to do that because they were already such a well-oiled machine. Everything about it was so perfect.
Yeah, well, Christine, we've seen that. We've seen, you know, great actors. You know, I've worked with actors that missed the run through in front of the network and had excuses or whatever. It's like, who does that? But yeah. Scott Grimes doesn't do that. And it's a work ethic. I mean, we talked about showing up on time. Christine said both her kids are interested in acting and they teach them that early is on time and on time is late, right?
Exactly. I love it.
Always be kind to the crew. That's been my thing. I didn't do it on purpose. I did realize years later that it's very advantageous to you. So it could be construed as selfish, but I did it out of my, you know, how I felt. And I wanted to be nicer to the people that work longer hours than me. And here's why: you're going to work with these people again. And it's going to be on something that you're really nervous about and you need to be good. And they're going to take care of you. And that happened to me very recently. We'll get into that another time, but where, you know, you meet a couple crew members and they're like, you were nice to me. Now I'm going to make you feel comfortable in this uncomfortable situation. So,
right. Yeah. It's unfathomable that people would have any other stance than that attitude. Listen, Band of Brothers, I know we passed over it to get to ER, but that must have been one of the most unique productions ever. Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks, Graham Yost, What a spectacular series.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about that?
And take this the right way. I look back now and it made me like a true man. I know it's weird that you can do something as an actor and it changes who you are as a man, but that did. That taught me discipline and oof, but I didn't love it. I had just had a year old, my daughter had just turned a year. And
we were
moving to England for a year, and it was such a time in my life that I didn't want to do that. And Band of Brothers, when you're watching Band of Brothers and there's two guys talking in the foreground and there's 200 people in the background, we are those 200 people. You worked every day on that show. There wasn't
seriously.
And so we're always doing two episodes at the same time. So you'd look at a call sheet and go, I'm not working tomorrow. And they go, no, you're working tomorrow. Look at the second call sheet.
Oh, man.
So the hour we get picked up at 3:30 in the morning, and the rules for SAG actors back then were terrible. So there was no turnaround. It was like a 9-hour turnaround, but they didn't include the driving time. So you get home, you get 5 hours sleep, you right up again. So I did not absolutely adore making Band of Brothers. Having done it now and seen how it's become after 20 years, I'm just so proud and honored to be a part of it. I never complained. Never said anything, but I was happy to go home when that was over because it was a very difficult shoot.
Oh my God, you probably didn't sleep ever. And then have a 1-year-old the hours were probably completely off.
Yeah, I remember on weekends just jogging just to stay in shape and it was in a cloud every weekend, that kind of cloud. And it was also the worst weather England had seen in like a century.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a 1-year production?
Yeah.
Wow. Ooh. I've never heard of that. And Scotty Campbell told me that he came out a couple of times and just like hung with you.
I loved it because what Scotty Campbell did really helped me. He brought his luggage, put it in my flat, and then traveled Europe.
But
when I come home at night, I look in the bedroom where his luggage was. I'm like, my buddy's luggage is there. Even if he wasn't there.
I know he's somewhere nearby. Yep. He's in a country nearby.
He'd leave with like brown hair. And I remember, I'll never forget this. And he called me on my cell phone. Like, I just landed. I'm from Amsterdam. And he's walking across the street. I'm looking out my window and he has bleached blonde hair. I'm like, well, he just had a great time wherever he found himself.
Oh, my God.
That was cool. Yeah.
Yeah. He said he went home at one point and then your wife at the time called him and said, you know what, Scotty really would love you to come back.
Yep. That's exactly right. He was my rock, man, because, yeah, it wasn't a great time, but I'm happy to have done it. And it was a great experience working with
him. Well, yeah, I mean, that's a project that will be appreciated for generations.
Yeah.
Can we get into Seth MacFarlane?
Sure.
Is this some, I think it's an amazing collaboration from American Dad, Family Guy, The Orville, new Ted series is phenomenal. I haven't laughed that hard in a long time, but what brings you two together over and over?
Well, we were friends. We have a mutual friend, Kim Furtman.
Oh, Kimmy Parks.
Kimmy Parks.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh, here's funny. Sidebar. Kimmy Parks is the first girl I ever kissed behind a dumpster on 72nd Street in New York City. We were 11, right? She knows it. It was just a closed mouth kiss. Nobody knew what they were doing. But
I might have kissed her too, actually.
That's what their story is.
Oh, sorry. Okay. But
for so many years, she would tell people that Dave Lasher was her first kiss. I'm like, screw you, man. And she'd say, no, he was my first real kiss, if you know what I mean. So I was like, hey, Lasher, this is way before I ever met you.
Oh, she was.
So you really had issues with David.
I did.
Of course.
Kimmy Parks
was
one of the
cute. And then he stole Scotty, and then all of it. Just stealing your girlfriends, your best friends, left and right.
That's funny, Christy. Christine's astute. That's I never thought of it that way. I didn't know the Kimmy story.
Yeah, well, Kim was Seth's assistant at the first year of Family Guy. Nobody knew who he was. And she just introduced us. To this day, Kim has, and she'll tell you if you talk to her, she never pays for a meal when she's with me because she introduced me to a guy that has, you know, for the last 20 whatever years has employed me. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, nope, you did. And we were friends and he was a big 80s, 90s pop culture fan. So he knew a movie I did called Bring Me the Head of Dobie Gillis. Exactly. Nobody knows Bring Me the Head of Dobie Gillis. And he was a big fan of Critters. So he asked to meet me and we became friends. And when American Dad came up, he called me and he said, can you do a voice of this kind of nerdy 14-year-old? And I was so nervous because it's Seth, right? This master of voices. And I came up with one voice, burned a CD, which back then, do you know how long that took?
Oh my God.
Machine that was this big.
Oh Lord.
The CD of me doing the voice and I sent it to him. And he went, oh, cool. This is a great voice. You still have to come in and audition because I was so nervous. I didn't want to. And I went in, came up with one voice, which was this combination of SpongeBob and Urkel.
Oh, my God. That's
only
good.
Voice, only voice.
So like, good.
Christine, that's why we don't get voice work.
I know. We don't go for it like that.
That's good.
And my original thing was I did something with my neck that was so uncomfortable. And all he did, he goes, okay, do that voice again, but don't do the neck thing and just do whatever voice you're doing. And that was it. He hired me. If he had asked me to do a second voice, I've learned things since then. I would not have gotten the job because I didn't have one. I didn't have a second voice. And that was.
Oh, wow. And you guys were already friends at that point?
Already friends. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's even harder.
Yeah, right.
Like
yeah.
the minute you are auditioning for someone, you know, someone you're close to, because number one, you don't want to disappoint them, right? You want it to work for them because they're going to bat for you. They want you to do well. So it's like an added pressure. Like you're putting enough pressure on yourself anyway because you want the job. But then it's like, and I don't want to let them down.
And the pressure on them if they have to say no.
Oh, exactly.
Oh, it's a double. That's even worse.
That's three times I've had to do that with Seth. Because as much as people think that these parts are given to me. No, I've auditioned for every single thing Seth and I have ever worked on together. And that's just because he has a studio that he has to, you know, there's other people, there's other producers and creators. And that happened. So we did, you know, American Dad now 19 seasons or something.
What?
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Really, truly.
Amazing.
And they got me, you know, and that's, again, remember, I sing on that show all the time. So there's the kind of bridge between that again.
Well, because Seth knew that was a strength, right?
Yeah.
Because you were friends.
Yeah. It's funny for this little dork to sing R&B music.
With the voice of an angel.
And then how did the Orville, how did that?
So we're in like a Christmas party for American Dad and Family Guy. And, you know, this rarely happens when somebody says something to you and then it happens. He goes, I remember he was smoking a cigarette outside. I probably was too. And he said, hey, Scott, do you ever want to do TV again? Like I had said something that I don't want to do TV.
I'm done with that.
I know. I was like, yeah. I think I might have played with him. Like, yeah, sure. You know, for you, I would, I guess. but he says, I'm working on this show. You know, want to talk to you about it sometime. Okay. 6 months go by. We're at another party. He goes, so I'm close on that thing. I'm like, oh, shoot. I thought you already hired somebody because I never heard from him. And it was this space show called Orville. And he wanted this kind of parody thing at the time. It's grown into something else now. And I auditioned. I legitimately went in and did well. And then they brought me back to work with another guy that was Jay Lee, who's also in the show. And I got it. But I had to wait. Like, I had to do the network thing. But what was great, and you guys will know this, we didn't have to do the network was put on tape with Seth directing us for 2 hours until it was perfect. And then they showed the tape to the network.
Why? Because of COVID or what?
No, just because he didn't. Seth doesn't like that. He doesn't like doing that to actors. Like, okay, you have one take, perform now, because it's not what it's going to be anyway.
That's so smart.
And I think that's actually become something that, if depending on who the creator or the director or whoever is in charge, that is like, I know Ben is a director. I know will do that with actors. He's like, I want to do a work session
right with
this person where we're working and work before the studio sees anything before. And it's so, like, once you have that too, you know, you're in good hands and that you're also being taken care of by the, you know what I mean? You're not just being thrown to the wolves, because that's what this network tests really feel like.
I found out later that he wrote the part for me, because if you listen to some of the lines in the pilot, it's all me. It's like a little bit of a drinker, a little bit of a doofus, you know. But he didn't want to tell me that at the time. And I was like, my confidence level would have been so much higher if he had told me that. I guess they want us to suffer, guys.
Dude, I honestly, when I watch, like, we'll talk about the new Ted series on Peacock. But you two seem to have very similar sense of humors. Like, when I'm watching you or listening to you on his shows, I'm like, that sounds like Scott. It's Seth and it's Scott all at the same time.
I always make the joke. I know Seth's mouth very well.
Yeah.
I know the way he writes. And I always did. We had the same humor. I don't think I learned it. I think I've been involved in all these things because he went, oh, he gets it. He gets what I'm trying to do. And all Seth is about, right? Think about it. He's a voiceover guy. He hears things long before he sees them. He's got a graph in his mind, and this is live action. This is voice. This is Ted. This is Orville. This is everything. And he hears something, and you have to match it. Kind of. He'll never tell you what to do, but you either have to match it or go beyond. And he loves that when you do something different, right? He's like, "Oh, I never thought of that." Da, da, da. But it's rare. So most actors and him, he's walking up and going, no, I need this to be louder. I need this to be a little softer. That's where he's at. And he doesn't have to do that with me. And I think that's why we work together, because he gets, you know, I'm out of the way. He doesn't have to worry about me. One less thing.
You're at the same radio frequency. You are right.
Yeah, our humor is the same. And I get when he writes a line, I get what he wants to do there. Now, I'm not complimenting myself on that. A lot of it's potty humor. A lot of it's, you know, I'm not changing the world here, but I think that is why we continue to work.
I love his social references, right? Like from the 80s and 90s. They're so random.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, in the Ted series, we'll talk about it. Ted says, I was the biggest star in the world. Now nobody cares about me. Now I know what Kirk Cameron felt like. Yeah. And I was like, what an obscure reference. Only Seth MacFarlane throws those things in there. But people love that.
Love it. They love it. And I think that's why people like Ted, because it is kind of nostalgic 90s. And we can get away with a lot more because of what we could fortunately and unfortunately get away with back then. And that's why it is. But I wasn't supposed to do TED either.
Yeah, how did that come about?
He would bring me, we were finishing up on Orville the last season, and he would bring me over, we'd have a drink, and he'd show me auditions or people that people he was interested in to play this kind of overweight, you know, schlub of a racist bigot man, you know. And I never said a word. And one day, you know, Seth introduced himself to my friends every time he meets them. He doesn't, his retention. So he didn't remember that I was from Boston. And I kept having, you know, he'd be like, da, 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 in Boston. I'm like, dude, I'm from Lowell, Massachusetts. He's like, you're from Lowell? I'm like, yes, I've told you this 1,000 times. And once he heard that again, I would be like, oh, I love that actor. You should get him, da, 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 da. And nothing was vibing with his thing. And he
let me just say, Christine, the accents, not only on Family Guy, but on TED, are like almost a star of the show. Your accents are phenomenal.
Yeah, we did it on purpose to be a bit extreme because that accent's kind of going away. And so in the 90s, it was much bigger. I know that sounds funny, but kids don't really have Boston accents anymore because of music and social media. And it's there's a lot that has to do with that. But he said, can you do a Zoom audition for this? And I did that thing. I was so, Christine, like you said, I didn't want to disappoint my friend because this was a little out of the box. He didn't write this for me. And for the Zoom audition with other people there, I pretended that my internet went down. And so he's texting me going, what's wrong? I'm like, I can't. I said, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. Hey, I got an idea. Now that everybody, because it was like 7 o'clock at night by the time they kind of gave up on me. I said, I'll put myself on tape right now and send it to you. And he was like, well, how can you do it without the internet? I hung up. I put myself on tape with my daughter reading the lines. And I think I'd had a beer to relax. And that is, again, why I think I got it. Because if I had done the live one, I probably would have screwed it up because I would be nervous to.
The nerves, right. The physiologically, your body would have just been handling it differently. Right, exactly. That is, did you then tell him that story later? Is this breaking news?
Oh yeah, we'll send him this now. But I mean,
the things we actors will do. I mean, we had Wilfred L on a couple weeks ago, who said that, you know, he had such horrible anxiety that he lied to the producer or director of a show and said, "I'm in Mexico. I can't audition. I can't." And he was in his backyard in L.A. and he was having too much anxiety. He knew he couldn't do it.
Really?
But this is such a good story.
An affirmation for the self-tape world, which a lot of people don't like. Just for our listeners to know, actors have not auditioned in person in I don't know how many years. Everyone puts themselves on tapes, and like one thing that's cool about it is you can control the product that you're sending in. Like you were saying, Scott. Like, I don't have one take in front of a room of 10 people.
Right.
I'm going to send them.
Right.
And that's work.
And I will say, I ended up going in and having to audition with the girl that played my wife.
Right.
But I'd already.
Oh, Alana Ubach. Amazing. Yeah.
But I'd already.
Oh, I love Alana. I have to watch this.
I had the confidence of the first audition. You know, you just want that go ahead. What you're doing is good. Continue doing that. Okay, now I can.
The minute you know they want you to go one step further, then there's a confidence boost, right? That changes.
But he didn't want Alana at first, and she knows this. He didn't, and I'm like, me and my girlfriend at the time were like, "You God, this is one of the most incredible actresses," and she just transforms into whatever she does.
Yes, she does.
Thank God he said yes, because she turned out just perfect.
Yeah. So cool.
Christine, you have to watch it.
I will.
In this politically correct world, I cannot believe what Seth MacFarlane is allowed to say and get away with. I can't.
Weirdly enough, David, I think that's why it's a hit, because people.
Yes.
Okay, it's a bear. It's this idiotic guy, because I had to exaggerate it so that you didn't. You weren't angry with him. You're just like, oh, he's a schmuck. He's an idiot. That's what you laugh at. It's
a bear. He curses. There's more F words. He's smoking pot with kids. Yep. It's so good. I recommend everyone should watch this. But I think we've become so a network
precious.
Yeah, we're so precious and everyone's so sensitive. it's time for a show that just like throws it all out there. Let's go for it again. You know,
I mean, the mustache I have in it is specifically for how can we make this guy so kind of unattractive? That we're gonna perm his hair. This is real.
Oh my god! Dude, Jill said, did Scott? Did you gain weight for the role?
20 pounds, yeah, and 20 pounds.
Because Jill was like, "That's not." We just saw you at Scotty's birthday.
Yeah, I gained 20. It was fun. I had already started because Orville was over. So
I had already started my weight gain journey.
So it was like it was just a couple,
run with it.
Couple pizzas away from being there.
At our age, the weight gain journey can go very quickly.
Absolutely.
It's better than having to lose 20.
Yeah. Oh God.
You guys, we can't keep you any longer. This has been, I knew it would go by fast, but dude, you're the greatest.
Oh my God. And the other thing, cause I now Ted's on my list, but I congratulations on Oppenheimer. I still haven't seen it. Yeah. It's on the top of my list to watch.
That's again, a self-tape. Chris Nolan, 2 days after my self-tape called, I want you on this. 2 days turned into 3 weeks because Robert Downey Jr. wanted me next to him at all times as his lawyer. Lucky. That's lucky because he didn't know me. He didn't know my acting.
So, and who filmed your self-tape?
Scott Campbell.
There you go.
I think the other moral to the story here is all things come back to if you can sing your ass off, then you will have a very long career in show business because that is what you've proven.
Blessings, everybody. Guys, I'm such a big fan of both of yours and on so many different levels, and I appreciate this this interview. I looked at all the people that have been on. I'm like, I don't belong here.
You so belong here. This was a blast. This was so too much fun.
We're going to have to do a part two, but we're rooting for Oppenheimer at the Oscars, man. That would be sick.
That'd be great. Let's
congrats.
Thanks guys. Appreciate you both.
All right. Thanks, Scotty Grimes.
So much love. Bye.
Love you, buddy.
What a sweetheart.
Right. I mean,
literally, I think we have people on, as our guests and our friends and who have really worked consistently over the year. But this redefines that because the projects that he's been a part of that have gone years, decades. And again, I always love the actor who's so appreciative of all of it. Doesn't take one ounce of it for granted. Is willing, right. By the way, to me, a friend that's even willing to continuously audition for, you know, your friend, like at a certain point you might say, dude, how many more times do I need to audition?
Right. You know, but what
like
I can
no
do.
Ego. He just is like, just,
but
loves
I think
the work.
Because he always had to fight and work for his roles. That's why he's kept this attitude of gratitude. And, you know, if there is such a thing as a blue collar worker, as successful as Scott Grimes, that's what it is. Right.
Yeah.
He never became the guy that was getting 10 offers or 10 scripts a week. Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? But because he was so good and so professional and such a good person too. He talks about the hang, like you want to be around Scott Grimes.
He's just that guy. By the way, I mean, if Russell Crowe wants to be around Scott Grimes, that says something, right? Like that speaks volumes. Awesome. That was a great time. So thanks, David, for... I mean, we got to meet Scott Campbell. Has got to make an appearance at some point.
I think Scott Campbell, whose girlfriend is Heather McComb.
Oh my gosh!
Yes,
we did not know this.
Two of the most working, talented actors.
That would be a great episode.
It would be
those two.
Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed Scott Grimes,
and we'll be back next week.
We got a good one. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe and give us 5 stars.
And please follow us on Instagram at HeyDudeTheNineties Called. See you next time.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
Is she breathing right now?
Yes, she's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.